community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Too, and that's the best thing from them for a long time, in my humble opinion. And it's called Invisible. I'm still chomping on almond cake, courtesy from the good people at the Queen's Theatre. This is the Over the Green Cafe in Hornchurch. Very nice it is too. I haven't finished it. And my guest for this hour is Patrick O'Sullivan, who's bought the cake for me. Thank you very much indeed. Patrick, welcome along to the programme.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about Easter and what to do with the kids at Easter. And one thing they can do is come see the fabulous Millie and the Minotaur, isn't it, at the Queen's Theatre. So what is Millie and the Minotaur? Tell us
Okay, so Millie and the Minotaur is a fantastic, charming little play. It's for ages 6 to 11. And basically the story is Millie is ill and she's in hospital. So obviously hospitals are quite scary, lonely places for children to be. And her granny visits her. Her granny's a bit mad and a bit scatty, but she's trying to keep Millie's spirits high. So she tells her the story of the Minotaur, the Greek myth of the Minotaur, which is half man, half bull. And then one day while Millie is taking her medication, there's no one there to hold her hand. So the nurse asks her to think of someone maybe who will keep her safe. And she's visited by the Minotaur, who then becomes her secret friend. And she gets up to lots of kind of frolics and antics in the hospital ward with the Minotaur, really. And the Minotaur helps her get through this difficult time.
It sounds like there's a bit of costume involved here as well, isn't there?
There is, yeah. The biggest detail, I suppose, is the Minotaur's costume, and you know, it's quite important for him to be real. There was a production of this play on before in Gwent in Wales. The writers, actually, Philip Michel, is a Welsh playwright, and they use a kind of big puppet of the Minotaur. But talking to the playwright and looking at it myself, it was a real disconnect that the children are not going to believe that this person is a real person, you know. And I think it's important that the children are taken along the journey, you know, are really engaged with the kind of magic that, you know, live theatre is. They should be carried along with the story. So we are currently having the Minotaur costume made by a fantastic costume maker, a guy called Mike Coltman, who's made lots of stuff for lots of big TV shows. He's made a lot of stuff for our pantomimes. So he's busily making this Minotaur costume. We get it the second week of rehearsal, so we hope it's all going to fit. But I think the production values, you know, for the show are really, really high, you know, think children and families, you know, will really... really love it, you know. I think it's important that children's theatre is not just really just for the children. It's not a thing where parents come in and switch off and are not engaged, you know. I think also as theatre makers, we want to engage the adults in the drama as well as the young people. So hopefully this will be...
So you're the director?
I'm the director, yeah.
Right, so is this a new piece or...?
It's been produced once before in Wales. Gwent Theatre did it probably about 6 or 7 years ago. So it's the first time it's going to be done in England. It's got its second outing, but it's a brand new production. So we will have a different kind of feel or scope on it than the original one did. And the writer's quite excited, I think, to have his play on in London as
it's
well.
It's great. I mean, we just did a play in my group at the Thameside Theatre, and the writer came along, and he was blown away because I think we were the biggest group that had done his play, and he just loved it, you know. And as a director, it's always nervous when a writer comes along to watch his piece, because as a director, it's your interpretation of that piece, isn't it? Not his, really.
Exactly. And I don't know Philip. He sent a few plays to me actually a few years ago, and they were squirreled away on my computer, and I was trying to find a play for this year, and I kind of found it again and read it and went, oh, that's really nice, I really liked it. And all I've had is one phone conversation with him about kind of, you know, how he feels, and what's really nice, actually, it is nervous as director, but it's really nice if the writer is really open, you know. And and he was really open and said, look, whatever you want to do with it. He's quite excited that it's on, excited to see what we do with it. But yeah, it's like a nervous parent, because the play is the writer's baby, really, and you kind of send it out into the big bad world, and we're going to start playing.
I didn't
with it.
Mean that in that scene. I meant something completely. Oh,
yeah. So I think, you know, essentially, you just got to. The writing is the core, and I think if you stay true to the writing, you know, everything's there on the page. And if, as a director, I think if you stay true to the writing, then you will capture the magic of that piece. But theatre is a collaborative art form. You know, we need writers, directors, actors, designers, lighting designers.
Have you, talking about actors, have you cast this yet?
We've casted, yeah. So the final part of the jigsaw was casting Millie. So we did the auditions last week. And the Queen's Theatre, we work in rep, so we rarely cast an actor just for one part. So we had an audition last week. So the girl is playing Millie. She's also going to be in Godspell, which is the final musical.
So is this a cut to the chase production?
It's cut to the chase production. Yeah. So it's kind of an interesting audition because they got to come and audition for two very different parts, where Millie is a little 9-year-old girl, and then Godspell is a rock and roll ensemble musical.
So how old is the girl who got the part?
She is early 20s. It's probably one of her first parts at a drama school, which was going to be for this kind of age, you know.
Right, okay.
But beautiful singer, lovely little actor, and looking forward to it. All the cast, you know, are lovely performers, you know. And it's really nice to work in a rep theatre like the Queen's, you know, because you see them play a range of parts and a range of roles, and it's great that there's, you know, there's very little of them left, you know, but it does really feel homegrown, you know.
And is this your first directorship at the Queen's, or what have you been doing for a while?
I've been working at the theatre for 6 years now. So this is, I think, my 12th production for young people. So all the shows I direct are either Theatre for Children or Theatre for Young People. And then also I direct the community productions. So we've got one of them coming up this summer as well. And I've just finished directing a youth theatre production.
I'll talk to you off-air about that. Okay. So I bet, I know your answer's going to be here. The hardest part for you is finding the right play in the first place, isn't it?
Finding the right play. This production also tours to schools. So we're spending 4 weeks touring schools. We're coming actually to Holly Trees in Brentwood. We're looking forward to that. So we've got to sell the show to a school's audience as well as a public audience. So, yeah, it's trying to find a show, really, a story that's going to match both of them. It's always difficult to sell, you know. What we've done in the past, we've done very, very popular children's stories. So last year we did Hansel and Gretel. We've done The Ugly Duckling. We've done The Hare and the Tortoise. So I suppose this year is a bit of a branch out. It's not a as well-known story.
Well, I was going to say that because, yeah, you just mentioned the traditional shows there, but are there many Millie and the Minotaurs out there?
New pieces of writing for
children.
Yeah, there's loads. Yeah, it's really,
well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, what's really nice, I think, is that the theatre for children kind of genre is very, very vibrant in terms of new writing. There's lots of companies are commissioning new pieces. And actually, interestingly, yesterday the writer emailed me and said, "Do you know that Polka Theatre are doing a Minotaur story?" And also, I said, "Yeah," and also Bristol Old Vic are doing a Minotaur story. So there's three new Minotaur plays on at the same time, just coincidentally, you know.
And as a children's director, is it good to get away from sort of the, you know, the traditional custard pie in the face and buckets of coloured paper going everywhere, and there's maybe more serious pieces for
children? I think, you know, what we want to do is introduce people to theatre, to live theatre, to experience the magic of live theatre, and to really take them on that journey, you know. And it's all the shows that we make, that's really to the forefront, you know. It's not introducing, you know, there's this kind of phrase of they're the audience of the future, where, to be honest with you, they're the audience of now. You know, these children are as much, you know, an important audience to as an adult audience, you know. And so what we really want to do is introduce them to the magic of live theatre, what that can be, you know. And I think if you do it well, they'll want to come back, you know. And I think it's important that theatre can really kind of, you know, transcend emotions more than, you know, the digital age that we live in. You know, it's a lot of television, lots of computers, you know, but there's something really to be said to be in a room with other performers and seeing a story told out in front of your eyes. You can smell it, you can taste it, you know, we try to kind of really introduce them to a brand new world, you know, because for young children, you know, going into the theatre, it's quite a strange place. You're being brought into this dark room. What is it? But I think once the curtain goes up, the lights go up, the music happens, you know, and they if it's something really new, I think it can something that really captures their imagination, and also trying to capture the parents' imagination, because essentially they're the ones who buy the tickets.
What's your background? How did you connect? Are you specialising in children's theatre?
Yeah, I'm from Ireland, I'm not just putting on the accent. And I thought you put on the U2 song was a good kind of introduction.
Yeah, absolutely.
It all comes together.
Yeah, of course.
When I went to uni in Wales, but when I came back every summer, myself and a friend set up a little company where we started making plays for children's audiences. And I think that, you know, it was by accident, really. We just kind of we did it because actually we knew there were some schools which we went to in a very small town that would take it on. So we started making these shows, theatre for children shows, really, and really kind of we found them quite inventive. You can do lots of new stuff with them, and we wrote them. They were brand new and they were quite exciting. So really by accident, kind of just entered into that world of making children's theatre, you know, and then once I came over, came back to Britain then, and realised, you know, actually there's lots of companies and lots of exciting opportunities to work in this field. I don't only make theatre for children, but I do find it very vibrant, and I do think that audiences tend to take a risk on a brand new piece of theatre
well,
for children,
yeah.
And they might do on an adult piece, maybe.
You see, we're just in my theatre group. We're doing at the moment. We're just starting a chorus of disapproval.
Okay.
I've got David Apthwellyn, which is I just yellowed it yesterday. I got neck ache. Yellow is it's massive, but what we also do, we've got two of our cast actually write as well. So we're doing a bog off. So you know, you get you're actually getting three plays in one evening, but they're all totally unknown, and it's difficult to attract an audience to come and see three totally unknown plays. And one of them is a little bit more festival written, so it's a bit risque in places, so you know, we've got to be careful, you know, not to upset the audience, etc. And when you present a new work, that's always a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think I suppose people are, you know, money's quite tight maybe, and people kind of want to know what they're getting sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But also I think it's quite exciting taking a risk on something. Mm. You know, and coming out and because it's theatre's all about opinions, you know what I mean? People will, it's Marmite sometimes. Some people will love something, sometimes people will hate it, but they, you know, hey, that's what's nice about making some art, you know. It's, you're not trying to please the masses all the time.
Absolutely. Quick break, then we'll be back and talk some more.
Phoenix FM.
Very busy 1-2-3 today. Patrick O'Sullivan's my guest for the second hour. We're talking all about Millie and the Minotaur at the Queen's Theatre. When is it on, Patrick?
Okay, so we're at the theatre from the 15th to the 17th of April. On the 15th is a 2 o'clock show, and then on the 16th and 17th it's 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock.
And how much is it parent going to have to fork out to come
it
and see?
It is really, really reasonable. It's just £6 a ticket.
Well, that's not bad.
It's really good, I think. Okay. And it's an hours long entertainment, you know, and it'd be great fun, you know, at a pretty reasonable price.
Good. And how are rehearsals going?
We're about to start on Monday, so we just got 2 weeks rehearsals, so it's quite a quick process. But post this now, I'm going back and meeting the composer, the musical director of the piece, so all the stuff in the background is all coming together, so looking forward to starting it on Monday.
I bet you are, and busy time for the Queens as well, because Our Man in Havana, which I reviewed a couple of weeks ago, I saw, really enjoyed it. Two and Two Make Sex is the next. Well, it's up next, isn't it?
That's up next, yeah.
And that's all about George having a midlife crisis and seeking comfort in the arms of another woman. I shall look forward to that, and I shall be coming to review it. Patrick, thank you very much for coming in today, and I really hope it works out for you, and I hope you get, you know, good audiences, because new pieces do deserve a new audience, and I'll be interested to hear what the reaction of the author is if he's come on to see it.
But he is, yeah.
Stand at the back.
Okay.
Patrick,
okay.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for coming in.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.